It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks to listener requests, we learn about the latest advancements in heat pump technology to be able to replace a home's furnace and air conditioner and still work effectively when temps fall into the single digits and colder. Call in with a question. You can share thoughts about heat pumps and home energy. The number is 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Travis Herzog is a residential estimator and heat pump specialist for Midwest Heating and Cooling, which is based in Maguanago. Travis, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy to be back.
Well, tell us about the concern with heat pumps struggling to work in cold climates like ours. Is that struggle legitimate?
You know, it is if you're putting the wrong equipment in. So there are various types of systems that are considered heat pumps. They come in varying degrees of where their temperature points are, where they want to change over. It's about selecting the right equipment because they do make actually cold climate rated systems.
Okay, so these systems, I mean, there are air source, there are geothermal. Can you kind of walk us through what are these types of different systems?
Yeah, so your air source system is similar to something that would be like your air conditioner outside. The difference is that there's a coil above your furnace called an evaporator coil, and normally an air conditioner just that gets cold. Well, there's a reversing valve in an air source system that will reverse that to get warm. So that'll allow your air-to-air systems in your home, so furnaces, those types of things, to warm your home. Geothermal uses a water loop, so it's got a little bit more technology in the all self-contained system. There's nothing outside.
Okay. Well, so last year we heard from a caller, Steve in Lake Geneva, and Steve said heat pump technology needs to transition to using natural refrigerants over synthetic to help with decarbonization.
We need to electrify the global economy to rapidly decarbonize, and heat pump technology can play a critical role, and the use of natural refrigerants is key to helping drive down emissions of heat trapping greenhouse gas emissions.
What can you tell us there, Travis? Are heat pumps trending toward natural refrigerants?
Yeah, great question. We are starting to see the changeover from 410 to the new R32 refrigerants. That's going to be something that they roll out over time. But there are units that are capable of doing that now, and we'll see that roll out, and then we'll see more and more refrigerants go to the more, environmentally friendly.
So are these refrigerants used as, like, defrosting technology to try to keep heat pumps from icing over?
No, they're not used for defrosting. The thing is if you get the right heat pump, normally you're putting some type of drain pan heater to back it up, or they're built in these cold climate units so they don't freeze over.
Okay. So what is the refrigerant then doing?
The refrigerant is actually mixing in the compressor. It's either going, it actually goes out hot. It goes through a cooling cycle, and it comes back cold for cooling, where in the reverse side, it goes out cold and it comes back warm for heating. So it actually is both heating and cooling that coil, and then the blower from your furnace or air handler unit is forcing that air into your ductwork.
We're talking about heat pumps and heating systems with Travis Herzog, residential estimator at Midwest Heating and Cooling. Call in with questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Jeff in Delafield is here. Jeff, hi.
Yes, good morning. I just wanted to add an interesting topic. I had two heat pumps installed this week, in fact, on Monday. And mine is probably more of a hybrid system where at a certain temperature it switches back to the gas furnace, but it will heat the house as a heat pump down to, I think it's capable of like 35 degrees. They set it a little bit higher than that. But what really sold me is that it's a very high efficient air conditioner, and the fact that I could get some of the benefits of a heat pump down to a certain temperature kind of sold me on the concept. So I'm very excited to see how this works, especially now as it's into the temperature range where that'll be the primary source of heat for the house. Thanks.
And Jeff, thank you for sharing and the timing here of that happened this week. I'm wondering, is it integrated then into your current furnace system, or how is the system integrated to what you had or have?
I had to replace the furnaces. I had a failure back a couple weeks ago, one of those really cold days. So when the consultant or salesman, whatever you want to call him, came in, he talked about the heat pump, and I said, hey, I kind of like that idea.
I see. Jeff, thank you. Travis, what comes up for you in this scenario?
So when you're talking about heat pumps, they're all integrated as one full communicating system. So when you're replacing one thing, you're generally replacing the entire system. So your indoor unit, your coil, your outdoor unit, and even at times a thermostat that all communicates, because it needs to tell the furnace when to be a furnace and when to be a heat pump. And that lockout temperature, you know, 35 degrees or so is kind of standard, but you actually will have ones like I have a customer who insulated properly and actually has their set to negative 10 degrees and is running all heat pump with no issues.
Wow. So, I mean, you know, if you do have your home, you know, re-sided and re-insulated and it's really airtight, but, you know, that is really costly. And then in turn, it's like you can also look to getting a new furnace or a heat pump system. But that too, you know, a heat pump system really needs that insulated quality of the home. What can you say to that? Because these are two competing expenses, it seems.
Absolutely. So I work very closely with a lot of the people that work in the energy sector and like some of our ally partners, and top down is really the way we look at it. It's a holistic approach where we want to see that insulation value. We want to see your energy bills. We want to know how much energy you're using, and we want to calculate what's best for you. So in some scenarios, you can do all electric, and others you can, you know, go dual fuel with a furnace and a heat pump, some just air handler and heat pump. But I definitely go the extra mile to make sure my customers understand what they're doing.
So if you have a gas-powered furnace as your backup and it will, you know, turn to your furnace in times of a particular temperature, whether it's, you know, 5 degrees, 10, 35, 40, you know, do you still have two separate units, one indoors and one outdoors, or are these totally different types of gas-powered furnaces to talk with the heat pump technology?
No, you have an outdoor unit and an indoor unit. So the indoor unit is just going to be your furnace or air handler. It could be either or. Your outdoor unit, there's different styles of heat pumps. Some are cube-shaped like a traditional air conditioner,
mm-hmm.
and some are more like slender box-shaped like a ductless system, if you've ever seen one of those outdoors. But it'll be a lot more slender unit, but it does the same thing, heats and cools your home. And usually are very, very efficient, like our last caller said.
Travis Herzog is a residential estimator and heat pump specialist at Midwest Heating and Cooling. Call in with a question. You can share your comments about heat pump technology, about home energy. 800-642-1234 is the number. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore advancements in cold climate heat pump systems to heat and cool homes and whether these new models could potentially replace a gas furnace backup during a Wisconsin cold snap. Call in with a question. You can share comments. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have Travis Herzog with us, who is an HVAC estimator in Maguanago. Travis, last year, half of all American states promised to quadruple the number of heat pump installations across the country by 2030. What do you see in terms of demand for heat pumps?
Yeah, great question. We see a significant increase in them. Even people that look at a full replacement system, once, you know, they don't know a lot about a heat pump, once you kind of explain the technology and where it's going, it's definitely a positive for everything. There's not really a downside to getting one.
So do you see it as a growing piece of your business?
Yeah, I see it as kind of the future of it as we try to kind of lower our carbon footprint. This is the best way to do that in the HVAC industry.
Let's bring in Doug in Mauston. Doug, hi. Go ahead. What's your question?
Hi. I built my house 27 years ago, and I have an air-to-air heat pump in it, and it's been wonderful, but it's now time to replace it. And a big tout now is I know mine was only good to about between 25 and 32 degrees outside. It would just barely maintain the heat in the house. And now they're talking that these newer units down to zero and 15 below can still heat your house. What is the technology that makes that possible?
Yeah, good question. It's actually an inverter technology. So it has a 10-to-1 turndown ratio, and they also have backup drain pan heaters. They make a better efficiency with the refrigerants that they use. They make them more effective at that. We also want to see how much actual natural gas or energy you're using so we can calculate where that thermal switchover point would be. Though they're rated that low, a lot of your switchover points are maybe 15, 20 degrees where the home's a little happier, but we can get it down there if you have the right setup in your house.
What is the lifespan of these systems that are coming out now?
Sure. So you hear a lot of range on that. So you hear 10 to 15 years, 15 to 20 years, 20 plus years. What it's going to come down to is having a reputable company and getting your maintenance done on it. It's just no different than getting an oil change on a car. You want something with a good, reputable company, a good warranty, and somebody that's going to maintain it and keep up with it. So it could last, you know, 20 years, but you have to maintain it is the biggest thing.
So what is a typical maintenance need for a heat pump system?
It's no different than an air conditioner or a furnace system, because we're still going to have to check refrigerants. We still want to come out, see the furnace. We want to check the gas pressures, your voltages. We want to make sure everything's running to spec and isn't out of spec over amping or causing issues in the system.
So, but, you know, with heat pumps, when they stop at a particular temperature, is there anything that a repair tech can do to get it kicking in and heating again? Or is this strictly like a Mother Nature thing?
Perfect question. So our systems, you can actually go into the thermostat. There's even an app now, of course there is, where you can actually control the switchover points.
Oh.
So some of my more tech-savvy customers, I'll teach them how to do some of the switchovers where they could change it down if they want and see what's more comfortable for them. And maybe at 15 degrees, maybe they can go down to 10 and they like it there. Or maybe they need to go up to 20. But you can definitely switch over these units now where you want that thermal point to swap.
Let's bring in Lee in Campbell. Lee, hi. Hi, Lee. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I sure can.
Great. Go ahead.
So recently we had a sunroom remodel in our house, and we put in in-floor heat. And I just wonder how a heat pump would work in conjunction with in-floor heat.
Sure. Good question. So when you're talking about a heat pump system for in-floor, are you talking about hydronic or are you talking about electric floor heating?
Yeah, it's electric, and we have a gas furnace currently.
Okay. So we do a lot of sunrooms with a contractor. We partner with them. When you talk about a heat pump for a sunroom, because there's usually not a foundation under that, what we like to do is we actually like to put in a heat pump that's actually a ductless one. So you usually have a wall head unit. There's a couple of different mounted units we can put in there, floor units too. But we usually like to put those in those rooms because we don't have a foundation for ductwork under them, and we can get those down to operating temperatures in negative 13 degrees. So we can do like an air system. It doesn't bring in fresh air, but it does have a titanium air purifier built into the system, so it will louver and circulate air.
So multiple systems then at work here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Lee, thank you for that question. Jeff in Pleasant Prairie. Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Your previous caller kind of asked a similar question. I have an older Wausau home built in 72, and it has baseboard radiant heating, no duct work in the home. And I was wondering if a heat pump could work in such a home.
Is it electric baseboard?
No, it's hot water.
Hot water. So there are air to water source heat pumps where you actually have an outdoor unit that goes to a buffer tank, a manifold, and then goes into those. The only thing about hydronic heating with a heat pump is that it generally likes low temperature baseboards. It doesn't like the high temperature ones. So that's usually a bigger project. It's a little spendy to do that. You could supplement the house with a ductless system throughout the home and kind of get some air in there, but you would still have to keep some source of backup because you can't use a ductless system as your primary heat source per code in the state.
Okay. Thank you so much, Jeff, for that call. Travis Herzog with us, residential estimator, as we talk about heat pumps and those systems for home energy, 800-642-1234. Travis, as we talk about the in-floor heating and baseboard heating, I'm just wondering if you have a multi-story home, are heat pumps able to get you into the places like, you know, whether it's a room in the far back or something on a second or third level?
Yeah, good question. So that comes down to the most fun part of my job, which is air balancing. So sometimes I'll have homes that were built in the 50s, remodeled in the 70s, remodeled in the 90s, and everyone had a different idea on how the ductwork goes. So you do run into some challenges still with getting air there because it's still an air force system. And sometimes some ductwork modifications and things are needed. It just depends how many walls you have to open, those types of things to get there. But there are some tricks that we have to get the air there. We like to do variable speed motors on our furnaces, so that'll help with the variance of the air pressures. And once the first floor thermostat is satisfied, it'll still run for 20 to 30 more minutes to try to really get that air up to those upper floors.
Let's bring in Tom in Milwaukee. Tom, hi.
Good morning. I have two questions. One is, what is the industry doing to promote the geo systems and new construction in the state? Because I would think that would be a logical place to promote the systems. Maybe some code requirements, I don't know. That's question number one. And question number two is regarding the geo systems. What do you do if a leak is detected because the pipes are all underground and some I know are laid horizontally and others vertically, so I wouldn't know how in the world you could
Tom, thank you for that question. Short on time, I want to turn this over to Travis. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're actually part of the Wisconsin Geothermal Association, so when you work with running lines in the ground to keep them from leaking, they're actually fused polyethylene lines, and you just want to go with a really good company that's going to put that in. We actually have a driller that does it for us, but they would have to dig it up if it were to leak. But the only time you're going to spring a leak on those is if you hit it with something because they're fused. They're heat fused, so they're not going to leak. As far as new construction goes, we don't do a lot of new construction. We mostly do replacements, but we do new geo systems on new construction. But it's kind of a word of mouth thing, and there is a pretty large upfront expenditure to put it in there. But I do work with some builders on speccing out and load sizing for geothermal.
Are your customers taking advantage of the tax credits in progress from the federal government?
Yes. So anytime someone buys a heat pump, they go on my list for the next year, and I send out a copy of the next year's tax form. It is a credit, though, so no, you have to owe money and get the credit back. It's not a rebate. So you have to be cognizant of the fact that they're not handing you that money. You have to owe money to have that take off of your obligation.
Travis, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Travis Herzog is a residential estimator and a heat pump specialist for Midwest Heating and Cooling in Maguanago. And thank you so much to all the listeners who requested a conversation about heat pump systems. And if you have an idea for a segment we should talk about, go to wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.